Well, we've been talking travel for 8 years on this show, and I don't think we've ever broken out of the atmosphere. And right now, we're going to talk about traveling in space. We're joined by an astronaut, and we're going to talk about what it's like up there, why do we send people up there, and maybe even fantasize about going up there ourselves. We're joined by NASA astronaut and chemist Katie Coleman, who spent almost half a year on board the International Space Station, and she knows firsthand what it's like to be in outer space. So the internet works up there?
It does, in a kind of indirect way. Uh-huh. And so those people that are, like Karen Nyberg is up there right now, and she's doing a lot of tweeting and Pinterest and things like that from space.
Okay.
And she's actually doing that on her computer. So she's actually doing that, you know, herself.
If we want to connect with the internet in some sort of a Facebook way or whatever, what can we do to learn more about your life in space?
If you look on Twitter, you know, NASA astronauts, you could look up me, at Astro Katie. Well, a lot of us have names that are kind of along those lines.
Astro Katie, A-S-T-R-O-C-A-D-Y.
With a little underscore under there.
At Astro underscore Katie, C-A-D-Y.
That's correct.
Nice.
Yep. And one of the things I love to do, and I love to get other people to do it too, is to look for the space station in the night sky.
How do we do that?
It's going to be the brightest star. And it doesn't just zip across, like, zoom, and then it's gone. It'll just be kind of cruising, it almost like you'd expect an airplane to go across the sky. And it can take even 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 minutes to cross the sky. It's that slow.
Whoa.
And the way you find out when you might see it is you go to the NASA website or go on the internet and look at ISS sightings or how do I find the space station. And it'll tell you, you tell it where you are. It'll say at this time, you'll see it this many degrees above the horizon, starting in the northwest, going to the northeast. And then when you go and you look at that, and anything over about 30 degrees is going to look like it's straight up in the sky.
Yeah.
When you go and you look there, and I would just say, well, I don't see it. I don't see it. Is it here? I don't see it. And then suddenly, it's just there. And so it's really winked into sight. And it's because the space station is actually still in the light of the sun.
Yeah.
But we, when we're looking and looking for it at those times, we're in the shadow, like the shadow of the mountain, where it's light on the other side. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And it could have an eclipse also and go into darkness.
Right.
Hey, is NASA kind of an old boys club?
I wouldn't put it that way. Certainly not from my point of view.
There's been some high-profile women in NASA, but as a woman, do you feel comfortable that it is, from a gender point of view, well-integrated?
I feel very comfortable here, and at the same time, that doesn't mean that there's not always a little education to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to restrict it to sort of men and women, but in the very nature of our job, which is to basically go camping for a long time with 5 or 6 people who may or may not be your closest friends, the thing that I take the most seriously is how can I keep myself from just putting one of those people in a box and saying, this is what they're going to be like.
Mm.
And then if I look for that, say, annoying thing that they do, I'm going to see that over and over again when, because there's only 6 of us up there and there's really no other choice, I have to think about what does this person do that they do better than I do that makes us together a better team? And what do I do that they don't understand?
That's a life skill you can employ back down on Earth.
I think about bringing it home to my own marriage, of course, you know.
I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. There's an advantage, apart from all the science, that you can just living with people when you're in the same space capsule for a month at a time. Katie, what's next for you?
I am pretty excited to be working on these new supply ships. I was the second person to capture one with the robotic arm on the space station.
Hmm.
And now I'm in charge of making sure everybody knows how to do that. And that's a pretty exciting thing to be doing, just that the supply ship's going 17,500 miles an hour, and so are we.
Katie Coleman, you are a beautiful spokesperson for NASA. I don't know about our listeners, but you instill in me confidence that our money that we put into NASA is well spent, and I'm thankful there's big-minded, well-grounded dreamers like you that can lead us into the future. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. We're looking forward to having some of your travelers come up there, too.